This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
John Cena speared.
John Cena, while you lay there, hopefully as uncomfortable as you possibly can be, I want you to listen to me. I want you to digest this, because before I leave in 3 weeks with your WWE Championship, I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest. I don't hate you, John. I don't even dislike you. I do like you. I like you a hell of a lot more than I like most people in the back. I hate this idea that you're the best. Because you're not. I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. There's one thing you're better at than I am, and that's kissing Vince McMahon's ass. You're as good as kissing Vince's ass as Hulk Hogan was. I don't know if you're as good as Dwayne, though. He's a pretty good ass kisser. Always was and still is. Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall. I am the best wrestler in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day because Paul Heyman saw something in me that nobody else wanted to admit. That's right, I'm a Paul Heyman guy. You know who else was a Paul Heyman guy? Brock Lesnar. And he split, just like I'm splitting, but the biggest difference between me and Brock is I'm going to leave with the WWE Championship. I've grabbed so many of Vincent K. McMahon's imaginary brass rings that it's finally dawned on me that they're just that. They're completely imaginary. The only thing that's real is me, and the fact that day in and day out for almost 6 years I have proved to everybody in the world that I am the best on this microphone, in that ring, even at commentary. Nobody can touch me. And yet, no matter how many times I prove it, I'm not on your lovely little collector cups. I'm not on the cover of the program. I'm barely promoted. I don't get to be in movies. I'm certainly not on any crappy show on the USA Network. I'm not on the poster of WrestleMania. I'm not in the signature that's produced at the start of the show. I'm not on Conan O'Brien, I'm not on Jimmy Fallon, but the fact of the matter is I should be, and trust me, this isn't sour grapes, but the fact that Dwayne is in the main event of WrestleMania next year and I'm not makes me sick. Oh, and hey, let me get something straight. Those of you who are cheering me right now, you are just the biggest part of me leaving as anything else. Because you're the ones that are sipping out of those collector cups right now. You're the ones that buy those programs that my face isn't on the cover of. And then at 5 a.m. at the airport, you try to shove it in my face so you can get an autograph and try to sell it on eBay because you're too lazy to go get a real job. I'm leaving with the WWE Championship on July 17th, and who knows, maybe I'll go defend it in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Maybe I'll go back to Ring of Honor. Hey, Colt Cabana, how you doing? The reason I'm leaving is you people, because after I'm gone, you're still going to pour money into this company. I'm just a spoke on the wheel. The wheel's going to keep turning, and I understand that. But Vince McMahon's going to make money despite himself. He's a millionaire who should be a billionaire. You know why he's not a billionaire? It's because he surrounds himself with glad-handing, nonsensical yes-men like John Laurinaitis, who's going to tell him everything that he wants to hear. And I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead. But the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family. Let me tell you a personal story about Vince McMahon, all right? Can we do this whole bully camp?
Of the Mat on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to Music of the Mat, the podcast devoted exclusively to the music of pro wrestling. It's all part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Andrew Rich. This is episode 111, and it's about the themes of CM Punk, sponsored by Manscaped. And today I am joined once again by one of the hosts of the Grapple Spotlight podcast, also one of the hosts of the British Wrestling Experience on Post Wrestling. It's Benno. Hello again, Benno.
Hey, Andrew. Thanks very much for having me back on again.
Yeah, I'm glad you're back on here. Definitely, definitely. You know, it's funny. After we did your first episode about Eddie Guerrero, we were talking, and you said that if I ever did a CM Punk episode, that you're my guy. So I penciled you in right then and there. And then a few months later, me and Chris were talking about the 4th anniversary show and thinking up topics for that. And he suggested CM Punk. And I had to tell him, like, look, I already promised that to another. So I kept my word, Benno. I kept my word.
Wow, I appreciate that. That's a lot of pressure now, though, as well. I've taught myself into that gig. And like I said to you last time, I'm a huge fan of the show. And that is one I've looked forward to you covering. So absolutely my honor to do it with you. Hopefully I can do the subject justice as a old school Ring of Honor message board idiot who's been following CM Punk's career right the way through. I'm that guy who wants everyone. I want to make sure everybody knows, you know, I like CM Punk before he was cool, all of that stuff. He's my wrestler as far as like wrestling goes. He's definitely probably my favorite of all time. So no, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate you giving me the vote of confidence.
Oh, of course, yeah. But before we get to Punk and his music and all that stuff here, how are things going with you, Benno? I know here in the States, at least, we've got, you know, people vaccinated and things opening up again and full crowds at sports and all that stuff. But how are things going in the UK?
Okay, I mean, we unfortunately had some, you know, time of recording today, some bad news that, you know, we were expecting things to be fully normal by the 20 something of June coming up, the 26th I think it was, that weekend, and we were all kind of looking forward to that. It's the week after my birthday, so I was looking forward to just, you know, everything being normal again, but that's been put back a month, but I think probably understandably. But we're in a little bit of a state of normality now. I say things open up, but right now, you know, you can go out to eat, you can go out to drink, you know, there's rules about, you know, how many people you can be with, the rule of six that we've got over here and such. But yeah, you know, I'm able to see family, you know, hug family, you know, go out, see friends. You know, I spent this past weekend in London, which is something I wouldn't be able to do a few months ago. So it feels a little bit normal, even if, yeah, maybe there's still some restrictions there, but, you know, I'll take it, to be honest, after the year we've had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mentioned this before we started, but I ate in a restaurant for the first time in well over a year, and it was a bit surreal at first, I think, but I took that first bite of food, and it felt pretty damn good, I think, and I'm looking forward to, you know, more dinners, more movies, and wrestling shows, too. I mean, I'm going to Dynamite in September here in Boston, which was supposed to happen in April of last year. And during the heyday of the pandemic, it felt like that was just a million miles away. But now it's almost here. It's pretty incredible, Benno.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we've got, I mean, that's all, I mean, I can't be going to Dynamite, like, if, obviously, hopefully that happens, but it sounds like with the way things are going out there, it will. Like, over here, we've got, you know, shows starting up again on a local level. I was supposed to be going to a show the first week, everything, like I say, was supposed to properly open the week after next, and that's probably in a bit more doubt, but shows have been running, you know, with reduced attendance, and, you know, people there in masks, the likes of Future Shock running in Stockwater, up my end of the world. It's, yeah, I don't know, I think I'm at a point, though, now where I think, you know, I'm half vaccinated myself, you know, absolutely agree, you know, we should all be wearing masks, we should all be keeping our distance, but if you can do these shows safely and you can, you know, keep everyone at a distance and the like, I think, and keep everyone as protected as you can do as far as, you know, testing and vaccines and the like, yeah, I'm quite happy to go out. I know some people wouldn't be comfortable, but I'm quite happy to go to shows again, to be honest. I can't wait to go to shows again, if anything.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too, definitely. I mean, after watching Double or Nothing and just seeing and hearing that crowd, it got me so fired up. Not just going to a show, but just having these crowds back in general and having ROH, you know, with fans again and Impact and MLW and so on. It's so exciting and just a long time coming. Of course, that doesn't mean the shows will be good, mind you, but that's just the nature of wrestling, I suppose, Benno.
Oh, definitely, yeah, and that's it, like that, just watching Double or Nothing and having the crowd back was enough to kind of carry that pay-per-view. It felt like it hasn't been quite enough to carry some of the TV since, but still, you know, it felt, that's where I started to feel, okay, we're getting to a bit of normality now, like hearing crowds again. If anything, it made it harder to go back and watch the empty arena stuff that's still happening in other places in the world. But yeah, I think when wrestling is truly back and we have those full crowds as a regular thing, I think we'll all breathe a sigh of relief, probably.
For sure, for sure. Well, anyway, let's get to the topic here. And, of course, that topic is CM Punk, one of my favorite wrestlers when he was around, and obviously one of your favorites too, Benno, as you said earlier. And with Punk, you know, we could be here all day because there is so much to talk about with Punk. So many stories, so many memories, good and bad, high and low. He's had, you know, a very eventful life and career, that's for sure. And as it turns out, we are just a few weeks away from the 10-year anniversary of the Pipe Bomb promo, which is so weird to me, Benno, because it feels like yesterday that the Pipe Bomb and the Cena match and blowing the kiss to Vince and all that stuff happened. I mean, it's 10 years ago already. It's nuts.
I don't know whether it's like, is this a thing about, I think we talked about it last time, is this a thing about getting older? It just, time moves differently, because 10 years before that was the invasion, and that feels like a completely different generation ago from like the Pipe Bomb and the Summer of Punk and the like. Maybe it's something just to do with wrestling being very samey, you know, in the 10 years since, but no, that's absolutely insane. Like that does feel like it was yesterday. I mean, there's a lot of things like that with Punk's career, you know, things happen in a very, you know, a close period of time, closer than you would think, you know, it was a smaller sample size, I think, some parts of his career than you would actually think when you go back and look. But yeah, you know, the Summer of Punk is, you know, I'm on this podcast with you and the Voices of Wrestling Network, and as yeah, Rich and I'll always say to Joe, you know, those guys started that podcast based on, you know, the Pipe Bomb and based on Punk Cena in Chicago and all of that stuff, like massively, massively important moments in wrestling history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember where I was when I first watched the Pipe Bomb promo. I was on vacation with my parents in Florida, actually. And at that point, I'm not watching Raw or SmackDown every week anymore. I'm well past that point, but I still keep up with it and read the results and whatnot. So, you know, I'm on vacation and I go on my phone the day after Raw, and everywhere I look, I see CM Punk cuts a shoot promo on Raw, must watch. And it's like, what's this? So I watch it, and, you know, sure enough, there's Punk sitting cross-legged on the ramp, mentioning Ring of Honor and New Japan. Hey, Colt Cabana, how you doing? And calling Triple H Vince's doofus son-in-law and the whole thing. And when it's over, I'm fired up. Get into it, as Joe Lanza would say. And you know, that led to Money in the Bank with Cena, which is just one of the greatest atmospheres and matches ever. Punk wins. He blows the kiss to Vince goodbye. And he leaves the company with the belts. And afterwards, they fuck it up, of course. But until they fuck it up, I mean, this was just perfect in terms of getting buzz and getting people hyped up and the promo work and the match itself. It was all just so, so great, Benno.
Oh, yeah, it was. And, you know, the amount of wrestling fans, you know, to that point you speak to, who either were lapsed or, you know, weren't following at all and came back because of that promo and that run, you know. I feel like I'm one of them people. Like, I'm embarrassed to say it, but the first time, you know, I didn't hear the pipe bomb. I read the pipe bomb. I read the transcript on 411 Mania because I was still checking. I was out of wrestling. You know, it actually again ties into the last podcast we did, you know, after Guerrero and Benoit and all that stuff kind of fell out of love with wrestling for a couple of years, like the 2008 to 2009-10 period. And like, I was kind of, you know, still keeping an eye on things and following news sites, and you know, you couldn't help but, you know, see the news of the pipe bomb. And yeah, I ended up reading it and then going and actually being able to actually see the promo itself afterwards. And like everybody else, I was swept away. And yeah, you know, there are obviously things that unfortunately went wrong with it. It wasn't quite the summer of Punk that we wanted, rather than, you know, going off and doing Ring of Honor and New Japan and all these things we all imagined he might do. He was kind of gone for a week or two when he was back on WWE TV, wasn't he, unfortunately? And, you know, all that stuff with Triple H and our mate Kevin Nash as well. Which didn't go particularly great for her either, and threw some cold water on it. But how hot that was for, you know, the month or two before they kind of couldn't help themselves but spoil it. It was, yeah, it was career defining, I think, for CM Punk. It took him to that next, you know, almost tippy top level, even if maybe the company didn't want to go that extra step with him. And yeah, it just feels like I don't think we've had as big a moment as that in wrestling since, definitely not in WWE.
Yeah, somehow we went from the pipe bomb promo to Triple H versus Kevin Nash in a sledgehammer ladder match. Somehow, right? I mean, somehow. Okay, just and Benno, I know on the Grapple Patreon, you just did an episode about like the biggest misses in wrestling, and Punk was on the list. And yeah, I mean, the importance of CM Punk, you know, this website, this podcast network would not be around if it wasn't for CM Punk. You know, you mentioned, of course, Rich starting the website because he went to Money in the Bank and he saw Punk win. That inspired him to start VOW. And that's what made Punk Punk, that deep connection with the crowd and the fans. He wasn't a body guy. He wasn't a five-star match machine. But the promos, the charisma, the emotional connection, the heart, the soul, that's where he was the best in the world, so to speak. And there are very few wrestlers these days that come to mind who I think are truly capable of capturing that same personal connection that Punk could. And if WWE were smarter and were ran better, they could have really harnessed that and rode that wave from Money in the Bank into something just truly amazing. But it just didn't play out that way, Benno, unfortunately.
No, that's it. And it's, you know, you say, you know, it's similar to maybe Daniel Bryan, you know, in that, yeah, both of them made it to the top, quote unquote, but they were never, you know, welcome to that, maybe that next level. You know, that was just because Punk wasn't a company guy, because, you know, whatever, for whatever reason, like you say, we needed to get to Triple H and Kevin Nash, and CM Punk wasn't the priority. And yeah, that's it. Like, I think what makes that such a big missed opportunity, that run, is just like you say, how swept up we all in the promo, and then how swept up we all in the match, and how excited we were about, you know, the idea of this renegade who'd left the company, and then, you know, he's bringing in lapsed fans, you know, that maybe went into Cena or whoever the company was trying to push at the time, and he felt like a legitimate guy that people believed in, that they could get behind. And yeah, you know, that's just, it wasn't in the plans. It wasn't something they wanted. So it just, Punk achieved a success, but only so much success. And that, I think that's it. You know, you say he's a missed opportunity, there might be people that look back at it and go, well, yeah, but he was world champion. You know, he was a top guy for the last 2 years of his career before he left. And it's like, yes, he was, but he should have been the biggest star in the company. He should have been, as he will constantly say, you know, main event in WrestleManias and being on that next level. And instead, it kind of, yeah, it just, it hit that quote, you know, that famous glass ceiling that WWE's always got built up.
Right, yeah. I mean, he did win the belt back from Del Rio later on, and he was champion for over a year, don't forget that. But it's like, yeah, how many pay-per-views did he main event? Not many.
Exactly.
You know, he wanted a main event Mania, didn't get to. He was working hurt for a long time. He was working with a staph infection that could have killed him, for God's sake, and they gave him a Z-pack for it. So it's like, yeah, no wonder he left. He was so fed up. I'd be fed up too. And the thing is, too, it's like, it's not like Punk's final year or so was entirely bad. there were still some bright spots. The Cena match on Raw that went time. The Taker match at Mania. The Brock match at SummerSlam. Those are all great matches. But all the other stuff, the booking, the injuries, the runaround from Vince and Triple H, it was all just too much for the guy. So he left. And he hasn't wrestled since because he's just lost the passion for it. You know, it's not like he was Shibata or Brett where he physically could not do it again. He just didn't want to. And to make a guy like CM Punk not want to wrestle anymore, that's pretty remarkable, I think, Benno.
Yeah, definitely. And you can see it in him. Like, I think, you know, maybe more recently since, you know, he did the UFC thing and he's kind of quieting down a bit and he's doing, you know, that wrestling TV show that he's doing with Stephen Amell. And he seems to maybe now kind of, you know, you see him drop a couple of wrestling references on his Twitter or comment on something that's going on in the news and stuff. Make no mistake about it. Like, CM Punk's, like, wrestling's part of his blood, isn't it? So, like you said, like, that's the biggest travesty, that somebody who's, like, wrestling is such a big part of their life, you know, ends their career potentially, you know, with so much, I think bitterness is the wrong word, but, you know, bad feeling towards wrestling itself and, you know, the way he was treated on the way out the door, like you say, with, you know, the terrible treatment by WWE Medical and, you know, the fact that he said that out loud led to all kinds of legal issues, you know, and all kinds of, you know, personal issues for him as well. Like, I just think it's an absolute travesty that we've, even if Punk, comes back, you know, you said you're going to AEW, say he turns up at an AEW show or he turns up at All Out in Chicago, you know, it's going to be, I'll be one of the people losing my minds, but, you know, I'd still be looking back at it going, yes, but we lost 7 years of the prime of this man's career because of WWE's ineptitude, you know, and no other thing, because, like I say, he hit his head on the ceiling there in WWE and completely justifiably walked away, you know. And that's CM Punk, though, and that's something we'll probably talk about today. You know, he's someone who's, you know, true to himself, the reason we all bought into him and the reason we all kind of, you know, take him as a legitimate guy and, you know, love him, you know, for lack of a better word, is because, you know, he's never been anything other than himself and he's never been anything other than true to himself. And to be honest, yeah, leaving the WWE at that point is probably the most true to himself things CM Punk could do. It's just, yeah, it's a travesty for the rest of us kind of watching and wrestling in general that it happened.
He is who he is, yes. And sometimes that makes him a hero and sometimes that makes him a villain. But that's the way it goes with Punk. You know, he's very much his own man and does what he wants, what's best for him. And I don't mean to start this whole thing off all negative and whatnot, but listen, that's what happened with the guy. And like I said earlier, he's had just such a very eventful career with a fair share of lows and a fair share of highs. Not drug highs, because he's straight edge, of course. But, you know, Punk is, he's more than just the pipe bomb and money in the bank and leaving the company. A lot more than that. It's just that, you know, that's the stuff that people talk about the most, I guess, Benno. Including us, apparently. So
there's plenty more to talk about, though, from that career, like you said.
Definitely, definitely. Before we get any further here, Benno, I'd like to remind people that support for Music of the Mat is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide, and today we have an exclusive offer for my listeners: 20% off plus free shipping with the code MOTM at manscaped.com. That's the podcast initials, MOTM. You can use that code for the Perfect Package 3.0 kit, which includes the best ball hair trimmer ever, the Lawnmower 3.0. Their third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. The trimmer also has an LED light and is also waterproof. I use it all the time. It's a great trimmer. My balls are just smooth as silk, Benno. It's amazing.
Wow. Good to know. Good information. Like, I need to get on this. We need to have a grapple. Manscaped / grapple or something. Yeah, like we could all do with a product like that.
The Perfect Package 3.0 kit also includes the Crop Preserver, which is an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer, as well as the Crop Reviver, which combined keep your balls from sweating, smelling, and sticking. Manscaped also threw in two free gifts into their Perfect Package: a pair of high-performance Manscaped boxer briefs and a travel shed bag to store all of your goodies. So Don't be like 2010 straight edge society CM Punk, all hairy and gross. No, trim your junk and get 20% off and free shipping with the code MOTM at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code MOTM. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. All right, let's get to these themes here, and we'll start off with something that we did on the Chris Jericho episode and the Chris Sabin episode, and that's a medley, because between Punk's pro debut in 99 and him signing with WWE in 05, he worked a lot of indies, and he had a lot of entrance themes there. So we'll talk in depth about the more well-known themes, the bigger ones. But let's start off here with a medley of the various indie themes CM Punk had. It's called the CM Punk Metric Fuckton of Indie Themes Medley. Hit it, Johnny!
Took the 60 bus out of Dr. Campbell Benzonato. He was on the, he was waiting for me. While the punk rockers and the moon stompers who route on the corners where they're sparing for change. I started thinking, you know, I started tricking.
Bitch ain't one.
Hit me.
Yeah, it's 94 and my trunk is raw. And my rear view mirror is the motherfucking law.
This map hung up on the truck stop hallway door is looking worn and I can hardly read it anymore. I feel like I'm a spectrum down the map. And
discover how little we know about each other.
devil's trying to break me down. The only thing that I pray is that my feet don't fail me now. And I don't think there's nothing I could do.
So here are the songs in order. Roots Radical by Rancid, Olay by The Bouncing Souls, When Will They Shoot by Ice Cube, People Equal Shit by Slipknot, Don't Stop the Rock by Freestyle, The Ballad of Johnny X by The Bouncing Souls, My Life by Lars Fredriksson and The Bastards featuring Tim Armstrong, Halloween 2 by Samhain, Among the Living by Anthrax, Strange Hold by Rocket from the Crypt, 99 Problems by Jay-Z, Gainesville Rock City by Less Than Jake, The Grinch by Blue Meanies, Heads Are Gonna Roll by Rocket from the Crypt, Paradise City by Guns N' Roses, All My Best Friends Are Metalheads by Less Than Jake, Facing What Consumes You by Hatebreed, Jesus Walks by Kanye West, and finally, Shitlist by L7. Phew! Alright, so, first of all, punk, buddy, just pick a song, will you, please? I mean, there's Fickle, and then there's this. Come on. But in all seriousness, you know, this is a pretty good sampler of the kind of music a guy like CM Punk would listen to and come out to. You know, his name is CM Punk, for God's sake. Of course there's going to be punk and metal and hardcore, or some ska, a bit of hip-hop in there, too. You know, lots of aggression and rage overall. It's right up Punk's alley, Benno, for sure.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like it's a good looking mixtape, isn't it? Really, you know, it's like it kind of the songs there sum up him as a personality. I think as somebody like who's clearly got good taste in music. You know, I don't think there's any obvious big misses in there. Like there's a like you said, a surprising amount of hip hop. Like I, even as a massive CM Punk fan, I hadn't realized that he'd used, you know, Ice Cube or that he'd used 99 Problems by by Jay-Z. You know, at different points in his career, but I think, you know, all of the hip-hop songs there are things that I'd personally listen to, and even the stuff, you know, from genres I wouldn't listen to, I recognize as particularly good songs. Like, yeah, he's that guy, I reckon. He's that friend who'd make you a mixtape and it'd be a killer, you know, all killer, no filler, it feels like, on this thing. All kinds of memorable songs, if not songs that are maybe memorable for being CM Punk songs, apart from maybe one or two in there. Like, I can't particularly remember him coming out to Jay-Z, like I say, or coming out to Paradise City by Guns N' Roses. That's one like that kind of strikes me as like, that sounds like a great entrance theme, but I can't particularly picture CM Punk coming out to it. Like, you know, our mutual friend Steph Chase, who was on this podcast recently, she's a huge Guns N' Roses fan, and like she'll play that all day and talk about that as a potential theme song that she'd probably use if she was ever a wrestler. And like I'm a noob to the Guns N' Roses scene, but I'm kind of been listening to a lot of them lately, but that one kind of blows my mind. She actually interviewed Punk recently, and it was WrestleMania weekend. She was interviewing him for a movie that was coming up, and she was interviewing him literally in my house downstairs in my living room, and I was just sat in the corner like a little skiddy schoolgirl wanting to butt in at any moment, but having to sit there and be quiet. That's how much of a CM Punk fan I am. But yeah, I can't believe he actually used that.
I love you, Punk. I'm your biggest fan. I love you so much.
That's literally
what
I wanted to do. I had to hold it in. And I was a professional, and I let her get her work done. But yeah, that was it. That was pretty. CM Punk's voice was in my flat. I thought that was pretty cool.
That's your claim to fame.
That's a song that blows my mind. Yeah, there you go. I'll take that.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of these are just one and dones on an IWA Mid-South show, and that's it. But yeah, in general, I think these songs work pretty well for Punk. You know, like People Equal Shit and Shitlist are great because he's a misanthrope, you know? That's him. So
doesn't
I think
strike
overall,
me as a Slipknot fan, though. That's the thing, isn't it? Like, CM Punk, Slipknot? I don't know if I can see it.
I mean, he could. You know, he came out to it on the indies, so chances are he likes it, I think. I guess. But I mean, I think overall these songs work well just for this environment of, you know, 2000s indie wrestling where metal and hardcore and punk are just permeating the entire scene. You know, it's not like these songs are out of place or unique. I think they're just as much of a marker of his environment, Benno.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's kind of, you know, it's indie rest. You can kind of, you can feel it in some of these themes where, like, yeah, he's turned up to the IWA Mid-South show on the day and he's just thrown a CD. It's Ian Rotten and gone, oh, I've been listening to that all day. So to use that, throw some Ice Cube in, throw some Guns N' Roses in. Like, that's probably how some of these were used. Like, I think I was probably saying the one I mostly recognize as a punk song is Olay by the Bouncing Souls. Like, I know everyone will more associate that with El Generico, but, like, I remember, like, you know, seeing a lot of, like, Midwest era shows, even when he didn't use that as his theme, you'd hear like fans, you know, chanting that along for CM Punk, as if it, you know, and having, and Gabe Sapolsky in ROH commentary having to explain why they were singing the Olay song for CM Punk. So yeah, there's a couple like that that do stand out as punk songs, but other than that, yeah, definitely feel like on the day decisions.
Right. So a good portion of the themes that we'll cover in depth here are from when Punk was in Ring of Honor. To most people, that's his most well-known indie stuff, I'd wager. And he debuted in ROH at All-Star Extravaganza in November of 02 in a gauntlet match. His first ROH theme is by Hatebreed, who were in the medley. This is off of the album Perseverance, and it's called A Call for Blood.
You ain't no killer, it's all me doing that. The pain will be a pain. Trigger of innocence, I want your demise. Tear you apart from the unspeakable thing you tried to hide. I fucking hate you. Every bone in my body will ache till I destroy everything you love and fill your life with them.
Quite the happy little number, isn't it? I mean, when a song is called A Call for Blood, you kind of know what you're getting, right? And we're getting screamo, hardcore metal with lyrics like, I fucking hate you. Every bone in my body will ache till I destroy everything you love and fill your life with their pain. Your reign of terror is coming to an end, and I have no mercy for your soul. Your blood is on my hands. A call for blood for what you've done. No tolerance for what you've done. It's not what I would call gentle, Benno.
No, it's every, you know, it is what it kind of says on the tin. It's a Hatebreed song, isn't it? I think for a wrestling theme, I think it works, because you can imagine how many indie wrestlers can you imagine have probably come out to this over the years, or something that maybe sounds a bit like this over the years. It's just, you know, it's angry, it's aggressive. Like you mentioned, the lyrics there are particularly aggressive, and it's one of those songs where I don't even think fans of it would you know, hate on you for saying it's noise, you know, in a good or bad way. But it's you know, it's a strong, loud noise coming out of the PA system, and I can imagine in like a local gym somewhere. And yeah, that's the only thing about it, though. It sounds like, I could imagine CM Punk liking the song, but it doesn't sound like, you know, CM Punk, I think, as an entrance. It just sounds like every douchebag indie wrestler who thinks having angry music as their theme is the way to go, and they all kind of merge into each other. I think that's the issue with this one.
Yeah, I think it fits him in terms of his, like, general mood and appearance, I'd say. But in terms of being memorable among his other themes, not so much, right? Exactly. I mean, this music is not my cup of tea anyway. There are songs on this episode that do, like, screamo vocals that I like, but they also have melodic stuff in there, too, to counterbalance. Whereas this is just a full-on assault on the ears. So it's not my thing. If you like it, you like it, but this is not one of my favorite punk themes, Benno, that's for sure.
No, not a screamo guy myself either, unfortunately. But, you know, like I say, I can't imagine we've offended anybody. Anybody who likes that stuff, that's why they like it, isn't it? You know, it's like any genre. I can understand why the people who love it do. Just not for me, is all I'd say.
Right. But I think in this case with punk, it's similar to a lot of other ROH legends where their first themes are not necessarily their most well-known. Like, you know, Samoa Joe, Danielson, Aries, guys like that. So it's not surprising that Punk's first ROH theme is it's not bad per se, but it's not his most iconic theme from that run.
Yeah, I think generic is the word, isn't it? It's kind of like, yeah.
Not a bit much, forgettable, yeah.
Yeah, forgettable, yeah. Not much work has been put into it, and it's once maybe the company have realised who he is and, you know, exactly, you know, how he should be presented. Like you said, it happened with so many talent coming into Ring of Honor that usually they get crafted or pointed in the direction, or the wrestler themselves comes up with a better theme for themselves. And yeah, if just everything about it just sounds temporary, and like we said, it could have really belonged to anybody in the company at that point.
So in the middle of 03, Punk gets a theme that he uses very briefly that I couldn't find anywhere or any info about, some sort of hardcore song. But then he gets another theme, one that lasts for about 2 years, actually, and that encompasses the Raven feud, the Second City Saints, the Samoa Joe trilogy, and then finally him winning the ROH title. This is by AFI off of their album Sing the Sorrow. This is, of course, Miseria Cantare, the beginning. So I had not heard this song in a very long time, but all it took was just one listen and I was back in, baby. I mean, that opening synth melody, the drums kick in, dun dun da cha, dun dun da cha cha cha, love, your hate, your faith lost. Oh, I got such chills, Benno. I mean, this is one of my favorite ROH themes of all time. It's so memorable. It creates this chilling atmosphere where it's moody, but it's also very anthemic and inspiring. It's a classic, Benno, no doubt.
Oh, yeah. You say it gave you chills. It gives me chills listening to it to this day. This is the CM Punk theme to me. You know, like, this is just, like you say, this is the theme song of a star wrestler. You know what I mean? It's like the previous songs we mentioned, and you know, there were some fun ones in there that he used on the indies, you know, and the Hatebreed song and other things is used, but this is the song of like a confident, kind of knows who he is superstar wrestler. Like, it's not even a particularly offbeat song. It's atmospheric, as you say, is the word for this one. It's kind of, you know, it's like you say, the heavy drums, which are so memorable, like as like being a Ring of Honor fan and watching those DVDs and wanting to join the fans and slapping the barricades, you know, to it. And often they'd slap the barricades and it'd come off like they were doing the theme to Terminator than AFI. But it was all part of that big atmosphere, and just like listening to it, like you say, I still get chills listening to it, because I can picture, you know, Punk coming out slowly in his tracksuit top and sauntering out to the ring only after he's let the intro play for, you know, 30 to 40 seconds of it. Again, that makes, I think, in a way makes him feel like a bigger star, and every bit of his entrance is kind of like tailored towards the song, and he kind of saunters around the ring and then gets in the ring, you know, at the right point in the song as well. And it's just, yeah, it this song transports me back to being a Ring of Honor fan in, you know, 2004 or so, and being a huge CM Punk fan in those years. And I think it's as big a part of why, you know, CM Punk maybe got over or was such a big star in Ring of Honor. Like, music, you know, as you'll always say, is a big part of the package of why wrestlers are who they are. And this music is, I think, is for me, I put it out up there with the best wrestling themes of all time. Definitely the best Ring of Honor theme of all time. And it's, yeah, it's for all those reasons, really. It's just, yeah, chills anytime I hear it still. And inspired to use it as a wrestling song as well. Like, you know, it's maybe not the most obvious one because it's not a big up-tempo babyface song or it's not a moody heel song, but it's just everything about it is epic and it's just perfect for a big superstar wrestler.
Yeah, this hits that sweet spot for me where there's the yelling and the oomph and the force behind it, but there's also that emotion too, the melodic vocals. It's not, fuck you, fuck this, blah, 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 the entire time. There's a duality here, and that makes for, I think, a much more interesting theme and a much more interesting portrayal of Punk's character. He isn't just this dour, hate-filled guy in basketball shorts, right? There's a complexity to him where he has this enticing way about him that draws you in like a nice melody would. And that story of him being this guy who could draw people in and entice them to this collective, that charisma about him, it's in the lyrics too, in a way. Love your hate, your faith lost. You are now one of us. That's done in a group chant style. Nothing from nowhere, I'm no one at all. Radiate, recognize, one silent call as we all form one dark flame. Incinerate. Again, the idea of finding your group, forming one dark flame, it's a call to arms. And so much of Punk's whole deal has been voice of the voiceless. I'm one of you. We're in this together against the world. And that message is amplified so much with him having the song, Benno.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, that's the thing, you know, you hit the nail on the head there for who CM Punk was, even in ROH, you know. I think maybe like in his later career, he kind of got retconned in some people's eyes as being like maybe even almost a work rate guy of like a Bryan Danielson type. And, you know, don't get me wrong, he had great best in the world level matches, you know, points. But what connected Punk to crowds was in a work rate company in Ring of Honor where there were all kinds of guys who could go out there and give you the bell-to-bell sports-like presentation match. He was the guy who was out there giving you the feuds. Like, I hear this song, I picture him and Ace Steel coming out to face, you know, come and batter BJ Whitmer and Dan Maff, or a picture him coming out, you know, during the Jimmy Rave feud, or a picture him coming out during the Samoa Joe matches, or, you know, again, myself personally managed to see him just the one time, you know, live in Chicago, singing along to this song with, you know, with people in Chicago Ridge at a Ring of Honor show as well. Like, it's a big part. CM Punk's entire deal, I think, in Ring of Honor, again, in a world where it was very much about work rate, it was about connection, and this song is a big part of that connection and a big part of that personality and a big part of that charisma that got him over and stood him out as different and, yeah, made him a star in that company.
And People Slap on the Barricade too, that plays into the crowd connection as well. I mean, it's perfect, you know, especially in comparison to a guy like Samoa Joe, who is a rival, who has the swaggery, arrogant hip-hop, the champ is here theme. You know, it's the complete opposite of that. And I've said before on the show that themes can be great on their own, but they can also be great as a contrast to other wrestlers' themes. And that's a prime example of that, I think, along with other themes like Danielson and Homicide and whatnot, Benno.
Oh, for sure. I'll always say, you know, I'm a big Ring of Honor mid-2000s homer, but like, I don't think there's many companies who got theme music as right as Ring of Honor did. Like, they're up there with ECW as far as like assigning perfect wrestling themes to people and the music being as big a part as the atmosphere of those peak Ring of Honor shows as anything else in the presentation. And yeah, like you say, that the ones you listed off there, you know, Final Countdown for Bryan Danielson, Beanie Siegel for Homicide, like they were perfect at assigning an individual theme to each guy. You're absolutely right, you know, one theme didn't sound like the other. Everybody kind of had their own swagger, and yeah, Punk is right at the top of that list as well.
Definitely. By the way, AFI have two big indie themes. This and I Hope You Suffer for Jimmy Havoc. One's a little less tainted now than the other, I'd say, Benno, but there you go, I guess.
It's true. I mean, yeah, you know, from listening to Grapple. We're not the big Jimmy Havoc fans. We never were. Never mind all the good reasons why you shouldn't be a Jimmy Havoc.
A great song, though. A great song.
You're right. Yeah, it again, progress similar to Ring of Honor. I'll give them their due. Music was a massive part of why that presentation worked. And Jimmy Havoc, his entrance and, yeah, using AFI and I Hope You Suffer was probably the peak theme that they had too. So, yeah, two big wins for AFI, I suppose, in the wrestling theme sakes. But, yeah, like you say, one of those is very much tainted at this point.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a little detour now because while Punk was working in ROH and IWA Mid-South and places like that, he was also working in TNA. He was there on and off for a little over a year, from September of 2002 to February of 2004, as an undercard guy. He became a member of Raven's group The Gathering with Julio De Niro and Alexis Lurie, a.k.a. Mickey James. But then him and De Niro turned on Raven and got James Mitchell as their manager. Punk had a couple of random themes in TNA, including Raven's theme, but the one that I could find for him is by Dale Oliver, of course. It's his and De Niro's theme. It's called Rage. Gotta say, Benno, you know, going from Miseria Cantare to this is a bit of a come down. I mean, I love Dale, don't get me wrong, but this is not one of his better works. Pretty basic, just a simple rock instrumental, nothing to it really, and I just don't have much to say about it at all, I guess. It's no My World, that's for sure.
No, it's not. Or the what's the Scott Hall one?
Marvelous Me, yeah, great song, great song.
That's the other for me. That's the other great TNA team. No, they've done great work over the years, but this one, yeah, it sums up Punk's TNA run, doesn't it? Like just nondescript. He was with Raven, then he was against Raven, and he was just a guy. You know, he wasn't any treated as any bigger a star than like Julio Tenorio. He was a guy that typical TNA, not realizing they had a potential generational. Generational difference-making star on their books. No, he was just another guy with tattoos who was part of a couple of forgettable angles, unfortunately. And yeah, this is, you know, right down to the title, Rage. You know, should have given it to Alex Riley. It is. It's so generic. It really is.
Good pull there. Good pull. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it's par for the course. Like you said, CM Punk in ROH and CM Punk in TNA were two very different things. Same guy, same look, and same enemy with Raven even, but, you know, one of them is leading his own stable and getting world title shots. He's cutting these great promos about his dad and Raven and being straight edge and all that. He feels like his own man, and the other is just this undercard tag guy. So the difference is night and day, and the themes are too, so it all lines up there, I guess, Benno.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that's it. And yeah, I don't expect anything more or less. And, you know, the TNA run's just hilarious, isn't it, in general? That, yeah, it ends up, we say, CM Punk, he's his own man. He has a set of principles. And what was it, a fight with Teddy Hart outside of something to do with Sabu or something? Like a fight at a restaurant that led to him leaving, getting in trouble with TNA, and then eventually leaves TNA because of the deal with TNA will not want to use ROH. Sign guys and Punk sticking to his morals, sticks on the ROH side. It's all very CM Punk, that story, isn't it?
Yeah, there's that famous quote from his live journal where he's going off against Teddy Hart for jumping off the scramble cage. There is no God, and the cage wasn't 30 feet. That line is just burned in my brain at this point. but yeah, this is a very forgettable song for just a nothing run, really.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So the other non-ROH theme from this era that we'll discuss is one that Punk used in FIP, Full Impact Pro, which was the sister promotion to ROH when Gabe was involved. Punk's theme in FIP is by Slayer, off of the album South of Heaven. This is South of Heaven. So we're back to the proper metal here with Slayer. One of their more quote-unquote mellow songs, relatively speaking, I guess. But it's still Slayer, right? It's still pretty much the heaviest of metal around. Talking about Judgment Day, Souls of Damnation, Chaos Rampant, and Age of Distrust, Bastard Sons Begat Your Cunting Daughters, Promiscuous Mothers with Your Incestuous Fathers, Ingrate Souls Condemned for All Eternity. I mean, this is some proper evil stuff here, Benno.
Oh, yeah, and it kind of fit, like, you know, Punk, you know, FIP was kind of like ROH's sister promotion at this point, so, like, over there, they'd, you know, Gabe, and it was kind of, I think the deal was they'd fly Punk into Florida to do commentary for ROH shows, and while he was there, he'd work the FIP shows, I think, or what, you know, the other way around, and they had him over there as, like, a cult leader, you know, him and Azrael were kind of, would team up as the, I think, was it called the New Dawn, I think the name of it was something generic like that, and really the only difference was it was CM Punk, but he had some eyeshadow on, and as did Azrael, and it, like anything at FIP, it was nice, it was fun and experimental while it lasted, but it didn't really go anywhere. But this song does fit that, it kind of fits that, you know, like that culty kind of vibe. I think it works for who CM Punk was in the FIP presentation, although it didn't kind of work when, because there was that FIP show, wasn't there, where him and when Homicide was it ended up having a fight in a strip club.
Track that down if you can.
Find the people. I can't imagine this player in that strip club, but yeah, a couple of memorable moments he had during that part of his career.
Yeah, it was the New Dawn, by the way. You were right on that.
But
yeah, this is a lot closer to A Call for Blood than Miseria Cantare, that's for sure, right? It's not inspiring or moody or emotional. It's just pure evil. And, you know, admittedly, I've never seen any of Punk's FIP stuff, really. But if he's going for a darker character there, then it makes sense to go for a darker song as a theme. That said, you know, it's a little harder for me to get into this song than Miseria Cantare as a CM Punk theme. It doesn't have that same specialness to it, Benno, I think.
Oh, no, I think that's fair. And I don't think many, you know, the FIP that existed at that point, you know, they draw like 20 people. And, you know, there'll be 20 of us who buy the DVD as well. So I don't think there are many people out there who've got that that connection to much FIP produce. But there was, you know, like I say, some hidden gems in there and some, it felt experimental. It just felt like, oh, see, he doesn't just to do something different and be a different type of CM Punk and do a different kind of character work and be a heel while he was a baby face on the ROH side and maybe sell some extra DVDs that way. That's kind of all this existed for.
Right. Yeah, you mentioned like that clip of Punk and Homicide in the strip club. That's the only FIP clip I've seen, really.
That's all you
and
need.
the thing is, you know, it's a Falls Count Anywhere match, and they're fighting in the strip club, and there are two strippers on stage basically dry humping each other, and Punk just goes over to them and screams, "You're a whore!" in their face, which lines up with Punk's character nicely, I'd say, Benno.
Yeah. Good job he was a heel at that point, to be honest. Yeah, you're not getting away with not getting away with lines like that these days. To be fair, there are a few lines as a heel punker with Shelter you wouldn't get away with these days. But yeah, that, and I remember his old Twitter bio used to say once tried to tip a stripper with a filet-o fish.
Yes,
I assume
yes.
that's connected to that as well. I don't know what punks do.
I think it's still up joints. There, actually. I think so.
Is it?
Yeah.
God. See, true to himself to the very end.
exactly. Yeah.
Isn't this the prettiest thing you've ever seen in your entire life? It was almost, it was a year ago, it was over a year ago, I held this belt high in the air after I fought for it for the first time in Dayton, Ohio against Samoa Joe, and I proclaimed this right here, the most important belt in North America. Right now, in my hands, as of this day, 6/18/05, this becomes the most important belt in the world! This belt in the hands of any other man is just a belt. In my hands, it becomes power. Just like this microphone in the hands of any of the boys in the back is just a microphone. You put it in the hands of a dangerous man like myself, and it becomes a pipe bomb. These words that I speak, spoken by anybody else but me, are simply words strung together and loosely formed into sentences. What I say, I mean. What I mean, I say, and they become anthems. You see, if I could be afforded the time to tell all of you here today a little bit of a story. It's a parable of sorts. There was once an old man walking home from work. He was walking in the snow, and he stumbled upon a snake frozen in the ice. Well, he took that snake, and he brought it home, and he took care of it. And he thawed it out, and he nursed it back to health. And as soon as that snake was well enough, it bit that old man, and as that old man lay there dying, he asked the snake, "Why? I took care of you. I loved you. I saved your life." And that snake looked that man right in the eye and said, "You stupid old man. I'm a snake." The greatest thing the devil ever did was make you people believe he didn't exist. And you're looking at him right now. And the devil himself, and all of you stupid, mindless people, fall for it. You all believed in the same make-believe superhero that the legendary Ricky the Dragon Steamboat saw some year ago today. No, you see, you didn't know anything. You followed me, hook, line, and sinker. All you did, and I'm not mad at you. I just feel sorry for you. This belongs to me. Everything you see here belongs to me. And I did what I had to do to get my hands on this. And now I am the greatest pro wrestler walking the earth today. This is my stage. This is my theater. And I pulled those marionette strings, and I used your emotions, and I played with them. You see, because honestly, I get off on it. I hate each and every single one of you with a thousand guns, and I will not stop. I will not stop until I prove once and for all that I am better than you, that I am better than Low Key, that I am better than AJ. Styles. I'm better than Samoa Joe. Ladies and gentlemen, but you better learn to accept it. Because I'm taking this with me, and there isn't a single person in that locker room that can stop me.
So in June of 05, Punk accepts an offer to join WWE, but he still has to wrestle Austin Aries for the ROH World title. And lo and behold, Punk actually wins the belt. And the crowd goes nuts, he's crying in the ring, and then he cuts a promo, that promo, where he turns on the fans, calls them all puppets, and all of a sudden, the ROH title may just walk out the door. That sounds a bit familiar, I think, Benno, you know? Yes, it's the first Summer of Punk. And as such, Punk gets a new theme. This is by the band Living Color off of their first album, Vivid, with an intro from Nancy Sinatra. This is Cult of Personality.
During the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
The cult of personality. I know your anger, I know your dreams. I've been everything you wanna be. Oh, I'm the cult of personality. Like Mussolini and Kennedy.
So the intro there is from Bang Bang, My Baby Shot Me Down by Nancy Sinatra. People might know it from the beginning of Kill Bill, which is interesting because instead of having the song start on its own, they add that little guitar riff in there at the beginning, which, if I can put my English major bullshit hat on, is sort of putting a little tragic spin on the scenario, because Bang Bang is a sad song, and that guitar sounds very melancholic, and the whole storyline was Punk selling out and turning his back on the fans and betraying them. So it's a little signifier that something tragic has happened, and then here comes the villain with Cult of Personality. That's the way I see it, Benno, anyway.
No, it feels like a troll move, doesn't it? You know, it feels like he knows what those lyrics are saying, and he knows he's like trolling like the ROH fan base, and it suits, you know, who he was at this point, you know, in this company. This is, to me, this is the real Summer of Punk. You know, Andrew, this is the one for me. Like the whole bit. To be honest, I bit on all of it. You know, from the start, like it was something where, you know, we all believed he was really leaving Ring of Honor. We all thought it was really his last match. You know, and then he wins the title. And not only is he, you know, kind of, we're all happy and think he's going to be the biggest babyface in the world, but he turns on the company and he becomes this shitbag heel instead. And, you know, that is an intro. And this is the song, which, you know, I'm sure we're about to get into, is perfect for that kind of big time. I'm too big for this company. I've got this big contract in my back pocket. I'm going to leave you fuckers at any moment. And yeah, I think having that intro on, it's just a kicker to that too.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a classic song regardless. But I think in the context of Punk and this heel turn, it's brilliant because it's kind of like a heelish spin on Miseria Cantare. Because Miseria was about coming together and uniting as one. It felt like a communal theme. This song, it's much more singular. It's about coming together under one person, the cult of personality, who uses charisma and mass media and lies to get what they want and to get their followers. I know your anger. I know your dreams. I've been everything you want to be. I exploit you. Still, you love me. I tell you one and one makes three. It's not about one of us or we. It's about I. I'm the cult of personality. I'm in charge. You follow me. So it's taking that charismatic, rousing spirit and turning it into something selfish and bad and evil, which in this context is a pretty great choice to make for a theme now.
Definitely. Like, that's the thing I'd say. It's a heel song, isn't it? You know, yeah. I mean, obviously we get into the later use of it, but I think if anything, it fits this part of his career better than the later part of his career, because this is who he was at this point, you know, like the lyrics, you know, like Mussolini and Kennedy and the cult of personality, you know, it's an egotistical song. It's the song of a maybe almost delusional man, you know. It's the song of, like I say, somebody who thinks he's too big for this company in Ring of Honor and is, you know, going to do the dastardly thing and run out on us with the ROH belt and go to WWE. Actually, yeah, I think as much as this is, I would say probably the theme that's mostly synonymous with CM Punk, and I think it probably will be forever, considering, you know, he used it for UFC, and he's probably going to wind up using it if he ever does come back to wrestling again. But I don't think it ever fits his moment in time better than, you know, as this shitbag Summer of Punk, you know, suit clad, you know, I'm going to WWE guy that he was at this point in 2005.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot more effective as a theme with Punk as the champion too, because a cult of personality is supposed to be a leader or have some sort of power. As you mentioned, the song references Malcolm X, Gandhi, Stalin, Mussolini, JFK, etc. And Punk using this song wasn't a scrub or an opening guy. He was the champion. He was the face of the company, and he had the power to walk out as the champion. You know, he signed his contract on the belt, for God's sake. Like, he was king shit. So it definitely works better with him as this top guy, this big deal, as opposed to a mid-carder or a perennial chaser or whatever, Benno.
Totally. Totally. And I think that, you know, that switch up as well, you know, he couldn't have carried on coming out to AFI at this point, because, you know, he even changed his hair color. Like, this was a, you know, one where it was like, okay, now that I'm finally champion, and even though it was only going to be a short run, you know, like I say, a lot of this Punk stuff that we talk about happens in short spaces of time. You know, he completely, you know, changed his look, completely, like I say, changed his hair. His body had changed because he was getting ready for the WWE contract. He changed his gear into it, like, it was like a lot of black and purple, and he's wearing the black and the purple suits. And you needed that change of theme to go along with it. He couldn't have, you know, he could work as a heel previously, yeah, using AFI, but I don't think he could have, you know, this was such a shift in character and just a shift in presentation that he needed something special, and I can't think of a better pick for him.
Yeah, it's a lot harder to slap the barricades to this than Miseria Cantare, I think. <That's> so, yeah. And then, of course, later on, this became his theme in WWE with the static intro. After he came back from Money in the Bank. And it was also his last wrestling theme in general, which is interesting. And a little weird, too, because he did use this song as a face in WWE. And as you said, Benno, this is not your typical face song. It's rather maniacal and egotistical and all that stuff. But I guess it became so attached to Punk as his theme that he kept it no matter what the scenario was, Benno.
Yeah, that's it. It's kind of because it's such a good song, and because it feels big time. It feels, you know, we talked about AFI, the AFI theme being such a different theme for a wrestler. This is, how different is this to any other WWE theme, you know? Like, WWE, would any other wrestler go, okay, I'm going to use a song by Living Colour? You know, that wasn't happening in 2011. And that's kind of, you know, testament again to Punk being true to himself. Like, I'll be honest, you know, when he came back in Summer of Punk 2011 and got this theme, and clearly part of his contract convinced them to pay up for it, there was a little part of me inside that's like, oh, could he not have had a word with Vince and got a Miseria Cantare instead? But this, you know, I think maybe Punk preferred it as a song, or saw it more as a main event theme, maybe because of, you know, what happened in ROH. Maybe that's part of it as well. You know, again, stuck rather than picking a new song, even for UFC later, like we talked about. There's something about this song that he's really attached to, isn't there? Clearly, and it's synonymous with him. So I think it works regardless, maybe, of the lyrics and even some of the weird voice clips that are towards the end of the song that I'd never noticed before when I was listening back to it, get ready for this podcast.
Yeah, it became his song, absolutely. Going all the way to UFC, even, where he came out to it, which, he didn't do so well, Benno. I think Inoki would have been a bit upset with his performances there. So
I was upset with his performance, mate. I was.
We all were.
God, terrible. But oh well. Let's get it back in the ring where he needs to be.
Yeah, I mean, fair play to him. He wanted to do it, so he did it.
That's CM Punk.
Yep, that's CM Punk through and through, definitely. So yeah, Punk does not walk out of ROH as the champion. He loses the belt to James Gibson. And then he has his last match in ROH against Colt Cabana in August. He does make a one-night return in February as a surprise guest fill-in, but Punk, the final chapter in Chicago, is his last scheduled match in ROH. And for the occasion, he gets a new theme song. This is by the Bouncing Souls off of the album Anchors Away. This is Night Train.
Goodbye to me and you, goodbye to the life we knew. One last long embrace, let go and walk on. Feels like time to go. Going down south to dream another dream.
I'm leaving on a night train. Don't know when I'll be back. Sorry. It's no big mystery what this song's about. It's about leaving home and saying goodbye. Goodbye to me and you. Goodbye to the life we knew. One last long embrace, then go and walk on through. I'm leaving everything behind for a peace that I can't find. Ghosts that roam this house. Winter air right through our souls. And it feels like dying. It just feels like time to go. Very appropriate thematically for Punk's last show. It's the Bouncing Souls, which is a band that Punk likes. And yeah, it's a very emotional song for the occasion, Benno.
Oh, definitely. I mean, feels a little bit like I'm looking, like I say, well, you know, he was in Nirvana, what, 2003, 4, and 5? And yet we, you know, I still get goosebumps listening to this song, like similar to you know a couple of Punk's themes now. Like this is one where I listen to this song and I'm taken right back to that last appearance when he comes out to it, because the beauty of it was, you know, we all, like you said, we had the Summer of Punk. We knew we had 2 dates left in Ring of Honor, and the last date was in Chicago when he was going to be facing Colt Cabana. And you know, Ring of Honor, like you mentioned there, pulled one on us and had James Gibson beat him for the belt the night before. And the beauty of it was that meant that for his final night in Ring of Honor, and I know this sounds silly, you could just forget the storyline, you could forget the, you know, the heel run. He could be in Chicago and just be CM Punk for one last night on his way out. And listening to this song back, I felt like I was right back there watching Punk the final chapter again, where they play Miserere Cantare in its entirety. Then they hit this, and it's a song that, you know, I wasn't familiar with at the time, and I'm sure a lot of Ring of Honor fans weren't familiar with at the time. And Punk just kind of walks out of the entranceway, bawling his eyes out, like completely, you know, distressed with the fact that he's made this decision to leave Ring of Honor. You know, he's not the heel character CM Punk at this point. He's, you know, Phil Brooks the man, or CM Punk the man, however you wanna word it, and it's real, you know. And although yes, it's only 3 years he was in Ring of Honor, but it feels a lot longer than that. It feels like, you know, that was his home. And you mentioned Live Journal, you know, earlier, Andrew. I do remember him doing an entry on his Live Journal with the lyrics to this song, you know, posting them and reading them at the time myself and thinking, yeah, this is perfect, you know, for CM Punk leaving Ring of Honor. This, you know, describes, you know, CM Punk leaving Ring of Honor. It is kind of like, you know, it's a song about moving away from home. It's a song about, you know, saying goodbye, and it's a song about, you know, chasing your dreams, even if maybe you think, you know, they might not come off. And that's the point CM Punk was in at his life at this time. And it's just, it's absolutely, you know, he only used it for this one match, but it's perfect for this one match, and it's perfect for this big emotional occasion. And like I say, it gives goosebumps for me listening to it back, and even just reading the lyrics back, you know, it really is a song that just fits so perfectly again for this moment in CM Punk's life.
Yeah, it's just so on the nose with what he's going through here with this transition and the emotional weight of it all. This town is dead to me, and I can't stop chasing my dreams. I love you more than anything, but what you want, I can never be. Like, we know Punk loves ROH, but he has to go because his dreams are bigger than ROH. And the last line just nails it home. Goodbye to me and you. Goodbye to the life we knew. Wipe the tears from your eyes, then go and walk on through. And yeah, you watch Punk's entrance for that match, he's crying from the get-go. And it's such a heavy moment that is punctuated so strongly by this song choice, Benno.
Oh, like I say, I can still picture him getting in that ring, and he's still a pro wrestler, you know, like he knows the streamers are coming, and he falls to his knees and the streamers just come flying, like the most streams you've ever at that point seen at a Ring of Honor show. That's the cover of the DVD as well, Punk on his knees with those streamers all covering him. And yeah, it is just, it's perfect for the emotion everybody was feeling that night. And yeah, nobody was feeling it more than him that night. It was, again, you know, it might sound silly to some people, you know, it Punk taking this so seriously and taking the fact that he was such a big part of this company and almost kind of had to leave at this point. It was, you know, it would have been silly for him to turn down the WWE contract at this point, as sad as it made us as Ring of Honor fans. But yeah, I think we all understood as fans, and while we all had our kicks booing him through the Summer of Punk period, this kind of was like a nice big emotional moment that maybe Punk got to share with the fan base and kind of say goodbye in the way he would, which is through a great choice of music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's quite the choice to come out on your last show to a brand new song, because they did play Miseria beforehand, but he could have just come out to that song by itself one last time, and people would have been happy with that. But he came out to Night Train, which is a good song, but, you know, compared to Miseria or Cult, doesn't have the iconic status as a CM Punk theme. But Punk wanted to say goodbye in his own way, and this is a goodbye song, so there you go, Benno.
Definitely. Like I say, at least, you know, I think the beauty of it was, though, that we did before it get the, you know, get AFI Miseria Cantare, we did get to they played it right the way through, and that was, if anything, that was better than them coming out to it, I think, because the fans got to sing along to the entire song. And it's literally, you know, if people haven't seen the show, Punk the Final Chapter, it is where the match isn't great because, you know, it's him and Colt Cabana having an exhibition, if I'm honest. But the moment is great. And part of why that moment's great, I think, is, yeah, rather than it being his entrance, it's just played in its entirety and everyone gets to sing their heart out and everyone gets to kind of enjoy it one last time right the way through. So, yeah, kind of gave us both, I suppose, on the night.
Definitely, definitely. So Punk goes to WWE, first to OVW, where he uses Miseria Cantare, and then to the ECW brand, where he becomes one of the brand's new young stars, eventually wins the ECW title, and the rest is history. His first theme in WWE he had from his ECW debut until his post-Money in the Bank win, when he began using Cult of Personality. It's by Killswitch Engage off of WWE Reckless Intent. The song is This Fire Burns. So I know a lot of people have nostalgia for Miseria Cantare, and rightly so, but I have a lot of nostalgia for this song. I love this song a lot. Like I said earlier, I'm not a huge screamo fan, but I love the music here. I love the anthemic triumphant chorus, the monotone vocals and the build-up. It just gets me really pumped up. And dare I say this, but between the two WWE themes, this and Cult of Personality, I think I prefer this one. I mean, that might be nostalgia talking, but I don't know, Benno, it's a pretty great song.
That's interesting, because I suppose as well, he comes out to it, doesn't he, at 2011, at Money in the Bank. Like, it kind of feels like he didn't, you know, in retrospect, but he did. You know, this was the song that kind of lit up that arena. I think it's an interesting one for me, because I think, like I say, I'm probably more than you attached to the other themes and attached to Cult of Personality, but it feels like a song that maybe, I don't know if it was perfect for him from day one, but he kind of made it his own. Does that make sense? It became a CM Punk song. It became him through time, maybe, rather than being something I would have immediately given to him.
Well, it wasn't written with him in mind. That's important to remember, because originally Randy Orton had this theme for like a week or so. And, you know, thankfully, they changed it back to Burning My Light pretty quickly, because this doesn't fit Randy at all, I don't think.
He wasn't happy, was he, though? Like, I remember reading interviews with him where he wasn't.
I know.
He wanted to keep it, but come on, Randy. You know, this wasn't a song
for you. It's a great song, Randy. Come on, damn it. Come on. But I think this is, you know, it's a little too wild and chaotic for someone like Randy, who is, you know, known for being a lot more methodical and smooth. But for Punk, this fits him quite well. You know, musically, it works for him. It fits the ECW brand because it's all metal and aggressive and whatnot. And, you know, lyrically, it's perfect for this stage of Punk's career, too. All I've ever wanted was destiny to be fulfilled. It is in my hands. I must not fail, and I must not fail. This is the proving ground as the heat begins to rise. Turn away from yesterday. Tomorrow's in my eyes. Even through the darkest days, this fire burns. Always. He's no longer a top guy in the indies. Now he's starting over in the big leagues. Now he's this hungry young gun trying to prove himself with this fire burning inside him. So it's not as emotionally rousing as Misery of Kantari is, but I think it still works well for where he is in his career at this point, Benno.
Yeah, I can see what you mean. And I listen to it, and it mainly brings me back to thinking about his run in WWE ECW, you know, during that period. That's a, you know, kind of maybe brings me to. And yeah, you know, I suppose, as yeah, I think, because that was the thing about, you know, obviously WWE ECW was kind of shite overall. But, you know, the one thing they got right was, you know, CM Punk, fresh off his indie run, fresh off being like the golden boy for Ring of Honor. You know, if you're going to reboot ECW, like if ECW legitimately existed in 2006 to 2008, like, Punk would be one of the top guys, wouldn't he? You know, he'd be in there with the mixing it up with Rob Van Dam and whoever would be, you know, at the top of ECW. You could imagine him cutting those straight edge promos in ECW. So he was a good fit, I think, for the brand, even if the brand was kind of tarnished. And yeah, it kind of works as like the, you know, the premier babyface theme, you know, for an ECW. It's a kind of ECW sounding theme in that way too, so maybe that's why my brain immediately goes to that whenever I hear this song. But it is, you know, as you know, I'm not a Killswitch Engage fan, but it is, as a song, a very good song, isn't it? You know, it's one that I'm actually, you know, surprised that WWE picked up. I suppose, you know, maybe they paid the money for it because it was going to be for Randy. I don't think at this point in his career they would have paid that money for CM Punk to use it. But yeah, he got Randy's leftovers and ran with it. And like you said, did a better job with it than I think Randy ever would have.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a big Killswitch Engage fan either, but this song does get me. And yeah, I mean, finding the right song for Punk was so important because it was clear people liked him from the jump. I mean, you go back to Survivor Series 06, and he's on Team DX getting these massive CM Punk chants, and he's only been there for like a few months. So having this kick-ass theme was important for him in those early days for sure. And later on, when he changed it up to Cult of Personality after Money in the Bank, that was the right call too, I think.
Yeah, that's it. And I think the other thing that goes in its favor is the fact that it's a song by a legitimate band, isn't it? You know, it's not a WWE creator theme being handed to him, which would not have, you know, they got a lot of things wrong with CM Punk in those first few middling years, I think. But giving him something like this, yeah, it was the kind of, legitimacy that a CM Punk would have. You know, maybe it wouldn't have been his first choice as a song, but it would, you know, certainly be on one of his mixtapes, you know, you'd imagine. So it kind of, you know, gave that little bit of credibility rather than, you know, giving him, yeah, some kind of down, you know, downstate sounding song, or, you know, something a bit more, you know, typical WWE for the period.
Yeah. I mean, I know Jim Johnston was involved in the process because that was his job, of course, but he wasn't singing or playing guitar here. This was, you know, Killswitch Engage doing it themselves. So, yeah, a cool little touch there for sure. All right, well, those were the themes of CM Punk. Lots of metal, lots of screaming, a dash of emo here and there. It's not all my cup of tea, but, you know, Miseria Cantare, Cult of Personality, This Fire Burns, even Night Train, those are some tremendous themes, Benno.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that's why I was, you know, so much wanting to do this show. It's those themes, you know, particularly, like, say, Miseria Cantare is the one for me, maybe for me, the greatest wrestling theme of all time. I think it's one of them. And yeah, you would, you know, it's not a, other than obviously the indie songs that are, there's a long list of different stuff that are used, but as far as, you know, the memorable stuff and the stuff that sticks out and the stuff that, you know, when you hear it, you think of CM Punk. You know, I hear Cult of Personality, I think of CM Punk, I think of Night Train by the Bouncing Souls at this point, I think of CM Punk. I think, you know, I hear AFI, I think of CM Punk. Like, for his major songs there, I think it's all hits and no misses, really. And that goes, CM Punk's a man who, like we said earlier, you know, he's a man of principle, he's a man of, you know, he walks by the beat of his own drum, but he's also, you know, clearly someone who music's a huge part of his life, so you'd expect him, you know, to have those strong songs and have songs that fit for him. And yeah, I think he's got a list to be proud of there, as far as his career goes. A career that, yeah, let's hope, Andrew, it's not quite over yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just a very creative guy all around in all sorts of manners, that's for sure. And I guess, you know, wrapping it up here, where I stand on Punk now, it's not cut and dry, you know, because there have been times, like with the WWE lawsuit, where I was firmly on his side. And there have been times, like with the Colt Cabana lawsuit and him doing the Fox show, where I wasn't really. And we've said all show long about how he does whatever he wants to do. And, you know, as tricky as that can be sometimes, it does make him interesting. You know, say what you will about Punk, he's not boring. He's a very interesting guy. And he's been that way his entire career. And, you know, if he came back to wrestling tomorrow, would I be excited? Of course, it's CM Punk. Would I be as excited as if it was, you know, 2015, 2016? I don't know about that. But I'd watch him regardless, because it's CM Punk, right? And if anyone can make me interested in watching him wrestle, it's him, Benno.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, he's one of those people who's got, you know, call it the X Factor, call it star quality, star power, whatever you want to call it, that he's got that, hasn't he? And yeah, you know, some of that comes, you know, his personality traits come at the cost of his personal life. You mentioned the Colt Cabana thing. You mentioned just, you know, making bad decisions like doing that WWE Fox show. And, you know, at a time when we were, you know, I still hold the candle for the fact that he might well do AEW one day, but it'd be the most CM Punk thing in the world, wouldn't it, to not do that? And, you know, do his own thing. And if he came back to wrestling, you know, do something completely different. But, you know, forever it's worth, even if, yeah, I don't agree with every decision he's ever made. Or, you know, obviously you hear some negative stories about, like, some of his friendships and ex-friendships. There is just something about CM Punk, the man, that makes me want to watch what he's going to do next. Like we joked about earlier, Andrew, you know, watch two UFC fights for the sake of him, you know, so he could probably talk me into watching and supporting him doing anything at that point if I was willing to do that. But yeah, like I say, it's I just hope it's not truly over. And yeah, we do get, you know, him coming back. I'd love AEW be the perfect landing spot for him. I think it's got that indie spirit that I think CM Punk has still got in him somewhere. It's just dependent on, yeah, CM Punk the man, CM Punk the ego, CM Punk the you know, the divisive figure, whether something like that can ever truly come to fruition. But hey, we've always got our hope, mate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a place where he'd be allowed to talk too, because AEW is a talker's promotion. You know, Mox, Kingston, Jericho, Cody, MJF, Ricky Starks, Taz, Britt Baker. If you can talk, you'll thrive. And CM Punk can talk his ass off, that's for sure. So we'll see what happens, Benno. You know, time will tell.
For sure.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode of Music of the Mat. Thank you so much for listening. And Benno, thank you so much for being here again. You were indeed the right man for the job here, because this was just so much fun talking about punk, his music, his career, all that stuff. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, man. Hopefully I've done the other CM Punk fans proud on this one. It's, like I say, subject near and dear to my heart. Love the podcast. Made up to be on it again, mate. So thank you so much for asking me on.
Oh, absolutely. Of course. Any plugs you want to give? Go right ahead.
Awesome. Yeah, just mentioned, yeah, like you said at the top, a host of Grapple Spotlight, if people haven't heard it. We're the big bean-eating fucks, according to one Joe Lanza. So I don't know if that's a reason to listen to us or not, but I think it's meant with love.
We do
a show every Monday where we try and cover everything ourselves as far as the wrestling world goes, and do it in kind of our own more British way, maybe, than the Voices flagship. So yeah, you can hear that every Monday night. Just search Grapple wherever podcasts are sold. And yeah, as you mentioned earlier, post wrestling over there, I do the British Wrestling Experience, where yeah, we do somehow find British wrestling topics to talk about once a month. Although it has been a struggle this last 6 months or so, but yeah, there's always something going on over there too. So yeah, you can find that, and you can follow me on Twitter at Benson Richard E.
And an early happy birthday, by the way.
Oh, thank you, man. I'm sure you're not going to be insulted, mate, when I say that's the second best birthday greeting I've had today.
I know what it is. Yes,
I did get a cameo from Kevin Nash, so you know that was good too. But no, I'll take yours, mate. Number two on the list, not too bad.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, Kevin Nash, number one in all of our hearts for many reasons, I'd say.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Just think of it, mate. He's the Miserere Cantera, and you're the cult of personality. You know, it's one and two. It's a close one and two.
I'll take it. Yes, thank you so much. And Music of the Mat is, of course, part of the Voices of Wrestling podcast network. You can find all the great podcasts on there at voicesofwrestling.com. Follow the show on Twitter at Music of the Mat. Follow me on Twitter at Andrew T. Rich. If you want to discuss this episode or other topics, you can do so at the VOW Discord. That's voicesofwrestling.com/discord. If you want to donate to the show, you can do that. Just go to voicesofwrestling.com/donate and click the big donate button beneath the name Music of the Mat. If you donate, hey, thanks so much. You're awesome. Rate, review, subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and many other places. And of course, manscaped.com. Use the code MOTM for 20% off plus free shipping. Benno, thank you again, and I'll see you around.
Awesome. See you soon, man.
All right, for Benno, I'm Andrew Rich, and I'll see you next time on Music of the Mat. Take care, guys.
Music of the Mat is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The songs used throughout this show are property of their respective copyright holders.